Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Sunday again, Sunday night. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe. At Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there. Join the militia live on Twitter X Spaces already today, so not right now. We do have a special treat for you, however. We got our very own Virginia Tech insider, Syracuse's own Giovanni Heater. So welcome, Gio. It is great to have you back again. It's tough for us to get guests on because we just pencil whip these things when we have spare time. So it's good to set some time aside to have you on to talk about your Hokies today. So how you doing?
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, guys. Looking forward to it. As you know, I always love listening, so always fun to hop on here with you guys.
Yes, sir. Thanks, bud.
Absolutely. Gio's been a long-time listener, like real long time.
Where did the time go?
Where did the time go? Look at you. You've gotten so big. Look at you. He came out and played his guitar one time, too. Just coming on as hopping on as just a fan, and then I had him co-host with me before, and now he's doing, you know, interviews and podcasts with football coaches and everything like that. So what a leap. It must be just almost surreal for you to just be doing what you want to do and doing it at the level you're doing it at.
It's crazy, but I always say, you know, you guys kind of gave me my start because I always love listening to your show and thought like, hey, why don't I try and do that? So it is surreal to get to hang out with you guys and talk about the team that we love, and for me talk about the two teams that I love. But you know how I'm always rooting for when these two go head to head. So
I know. Yeah. I hear you. I saw you got razzed a little bit after Virginia Tech beat Syracuse. I saw it on Twitter. One of your buddies tagging you in a post there for that. But a lot of people,
you guys. Yep. You guys have no idea. Like, so I work for a different company and we do like a podcast every week and whatnot. And if Syracuse is even mentioned by my coworkers, and they're like adults who are professional writers, have won like Virginia Sports Writer of the Year awards and like all these like very, very big accolades. If they mention Syracuse, somehow it comes back to me and being a homer, and they hate that I host that podcast because I'm from Syracuse and I have the dome tattooed on my arm. It razzed every day here about being from Syracuse.
It's your hazing period. You're a sophomore, right?
Junior.
Oh, you are a junior right now? Holy cow. Yep.
Almost done already. I know.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right.
Wow. Hey, man, he's doing what we thought he was going to do, right?
Well,
he put in the work, but we knew he was going to be bigger than us.
I love that he says, well, I used to listen to you guys, and I thought to myself, well, hell, I could do that. Why don't I go to school for it, too, while I'm at it? So Blacksburg, a beautiful place. Is it growing on you? It's kind of, you know, it's very different than Syracuse, than the landscape and everything from A to Z. You like it there in Blacksburg?
Yeah, I do. I love it in Blacksburg. It's definitely different. You know, it's the perfect spot to be for 4 years, I think. I don't know if, you know, I think if something went wrong, if I'm still here a long time from now. But you never know what opportunities come about. It's funny, I get razzed as well for saying that the food here is not, and that the food in New York is way better. But I'll also stand by that when you know, people's impression of good Italian food down here is like Olive Garden. So,
yep.
know, yeah. But, well, the Italian there is not great.
Carrabba's.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no good pizza, no good Italian food down here. But other than that, you know, it is nice. The sunsets are good. I drive out of my like neighborhood and there's cows right front and center. There's like a farm. So, you know, if that's what you like, there's some good views for sure.
You get to
the mountains are beautiful.
You get to is it Roanoke? What's just
yeah.
southeast of you? Yeah, Roanoke, right?
Yeah, Roanoke's up 81, so it's yeah. north. About 40 minutes from okay. here.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yep.
Yeah. No, you're right, because that's where I stayed. Yep. I stayed in Roanoke when I went to the game there, and they actually okay. have a couple really good sports bars there and some pretty good food. But as far as the Italian goes, I have no idea.
We both feel that pain living in Virginia and North Carolina. Yeah, we feel that pizza pain.
Yeah, you guys get it.
I do, but there's some good pizza here. Like, there's some good. It's different, though.
I think you've been away from Syracuse too long.
Well, I mean, look, it's a different style. So there's a place by me called Cal's. That's a buffalo style with the cup pepperoni. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's another just a style. Like, we have pizza pubs here, like, would be, you know, something like Trapper's. But, that are big and they've got their own style of pizza. And it's good, but it's not New York style. That's it. I like the big, thin, fold them in half pieces. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's no Paladino's. That's for sure.
Or what is it? OIP, Original Italian, is pretty good.
OIP is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yep. Abacoli's is good.
Well, there's. Abacoli's, I mean, I could. Yeah. Well, there's the difference. Now we could rattle off. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
got Johnny's Pizza down here, and it's like when anybody comes and visits me, and I'm like, yeah, this is the best pizza around here, and they eat it, and they're like, meh.
Well,
like, it's average.
When I have people come, I don't take them for pizza. Let's put it that way. I bring them. Yeah. We have some really good burger joints here that are phenomenal. So,
we got some good barbecue. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's true. The barbecue is world class down south for sure.
Yep.
So, look, I wanted to get your thoughts on just a couple more things before you tell us about your Hokies coming into the Dome. First of all, did you see the Kyle Filipowski incident yesterday with Wake Forest? Because this was just brought to our attention. Well, I saw it yesterday. I saw only the one replay they showed on TV, and then Joe found one that Noons put out from up above. Did you happen to see that from Noons, Gio?
Yeah.
Oh, you did see that one?
Yeah, okay. I don't know if I saw the Noons, but I saw multiple clips of the incident.
Okay, from different angles.
Yeah. Yep,
okay,
yep.
All right. Well, then you probably saw the overhead one, because the overhead one's telling, right? So storming the court's been kind of a thing. It's been a thing for a couple years, but really this year it's starting to ramp up again, right? So Duke loses... Okay, and they're already in their sads about it. And then out on the court comes all of Wake Forest, like in the entire population of Wake Forest.
All 2,000 students that go to that school.
Yeah, run out on the court. Someone gets a little too close to Kyle Filipowski. He looks like he goes to shove, and the kid goes flying like 20 feet. Like slides on the ground though, on the court. He slides like it's ice. Okay. So, you know, he had some impact too. Kyle Filipowski, you know, look, he's a dramatic player. Okay. I'm sure he wasn't happy, and I'm sure that, you know, maybe he got bumped or whatever, but you know, he's hobbling off. He's got four or five people carrying him off. Like, you know, this big dramatic scene, John Shire's like in all of the rage. Like, if there's any more rage to be had, I think his head would have blown up. So, you know, he's freaking out, you know, getting the players off. Now you know damn well, the both of you, this is going to ramp up now. And
yeah.
should we not let students storm the court now because they might get shoved to the ground by a player? Is that what was that the rule that's going to set this thing off? Is that the incident that's going to set this thing off, or what? And what are your thoughts? I said a couple episodes ago, like, the storm in the court thing, I don't really have an opinion. I could take it or leave it. I don't care. This was after Syracuse beat UNC. And You know it's coming, but for me, I don't really have a strong opinion about it, Gio. But you know this is going to ramp up here next week. So what do you think?
I mean, it's I guess you go back to the whole like safety of the player thing, this and that. We saw Caitlin Clark for women's basketball. This happened to her, the Iowa player. Yeah. She's incredible. Similar situation where she kind of got hip checked, and I think she made it look a little more egregious than it might have been.
Right.
And so I get the whole safety of the player thing, right? But at the same time, one take I saw on Twitter, and you could take it or leave it, is you saw every other Duke player scramble to get the heck out of there, and he's kind of like taking his time, right? It's almost like the responsibility of the losing team on the road to like know that there should almost be a game plan in place, like this is how we're going to get out of here quickly. Like that happens in football where like part of the sport, right? It's been around for how long, and to take it out of the game I think would be a shame. I think there are times where maybe court storming isn't necessary. Like Clemson storms the field every time they win. I think that's a little goofy.
Yeah, but in Filipowski was at half court. Like, why was he still at half court?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be a really, really big shame to take it out of the game, whether it's football or basketball, just because it is so exciting, celebratory moments you'll never forget, moments you'll remember, things like that. I also think that this is getting blown to a whole different echelon because of the fact of it was Duke and it was Kyle Filipowski, who's arguably the best player in the country right now. And I think that's what takes us to a whole nother level. If that was Notre Dame and they were playing against Wake Forest and this happened, like, I don't think anybody really would be thinking twice because Notre Dame's at the bottom of the ACC and Duke's at the top, right? I thought Shire was so upset. And I was just like, I mean, it was one of those is like on your show, I can kind of put my fandom forefront and I don't get to do that a lot. Like, dude, I was just sitting there rolling my eyes like, come on.
That was me, too. I was like, this is so ridiculous. And I couldn't sit there. You know, I only got the one replay.
There was a lot going on there.
There was
like,
a lot.
You go back and you look at it. I mean, you see some of the guys, like some of the it seemed to be maybe the Duke trainers, people from their bench. You can visibly see that they're yelling F you to fans, people. I mean, it was blown out of control or just put out of proportion and to what Gio said too. Like Kyle Filipowski, he kind of put himself in that situation. You know, not only did he not hustle to get off the court, but it also, you know, in a overhead slow-mo view, it almost looked like he tried to trip a kid, tried to maybe put his hands out there a little bit, you know, push a guy. Like he put himself in that situation, and I don't know what the best answer is, because isn't there some conferences that get fined?
Yes, and the ACC is not one of them.
Okay. Yeah, because I guess my opinion is that, you know, you got to figure something out, whether it's to get personnel out there to, you know, allow maybe the players to get out there or have a plan, like what Gio said. I remember back when the year we won the national championship, when we beat Pittsburgh at home, the students, they rushed the court three separate times in a row, and I saw people get trampled. So, I mean, when you make that rule, it's almost it's safety for the players, but also safety for the fans. So, you know, I don't think that they should make a rule just because of the player situation as much as the only reason you make the rule is to make it to where something like that can't happen whatsoever. I mean, you could argue whether or not you should even allow a fan to be able to get that close to be able to have a confrontation like that with an opponent player. Just my take.
Yeah, and at Castle Coliseum for Virginia Tech, like they stormed last year against Virginia, and they do it where they actually immediately it's actually so smart because it doesn't look like cheesy. The cheerleaders on the side of the students where the students would rush the court kind of form like a blockade, right? And so they stormed, but they can't get any – they're not going to trample over the cheerleaders, and those are also, like, fellow students. So, but it's not like a line of, like, security guards that – and so just naturally, the storming was just kind of caught up on the home half of the court. And that way it was an easy exit for the road team. And, I mean, it's not as cool as everybody flooding to the middle of the floor. Right. But I guess there are ways to be like, we can still storm the court. With that being said, there's a 10 to 15 foot wall of the student section. So it's a slow storming. Everybody is like helping each other down. It's not like Wake Forest, they just flushed it. At the Dome, you can just flush it. So it also depends on where you're at.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean,
I'm not about taking away, you know, people just celebrating as much as if it's going to be about the players and the fan safety. You know, I'm okay with conferences having fines and leaving it up to the school. And if they don't want to put in, you know, the security or the rules to be able to, you know, stop that or at least do it safely, then, you know, the school is going to be eventually held liable for certain things that go on. So
I get it. It's fun. It's cool to get down there and be on the court for the students, but I don't know. I don't know if I care that much. I think they should be able to do it. And I think Geo's, you know, I think what you mentioned about what they do in Blacksburg, I think is a good idea. Maybe you can only be on one side of the court, you know, just to allow the team to leave if they want to maybe drag their feet and be all dramatic about it, you know, let them be all dramatic about it and grab and drag their feet. And
well, and we also spoke too about the handshake lines too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you storm the court and do that, then players don't go in and do that whole aspect of it too.
Well, players have an obligation to get in the handshake line and complete that before they do anything else. I feel like that's the player's obligation. It doesn't have anything to do with storming the court. Home players should be off the court too. Kyle Filipowski was the only guy on the court. And he was still at half court. What was he doing? And did he get lost? The hell? So stupid. So anyways, yeah, I think we're kind of all in agreement. I mean, maybe there's a way to do it better. You know, you'd hate to see it just go away because of this, right? Fair to say?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, Gio, big Syracuse football fan you are, okay?
Of course.
What do you think about Fran Brown? I don't know if I've gotten your opinion or seen your opinion on any of this because of who you are and what you do now. But, I mean, you got to be excited for next year's Syracuse football team.
Yeah, and this is where I get in trouble at work talking about how good Syracuse football is going to be next year.
Yeah,
and
right?
And it all started because my boss sitting on the podcast, my boss started it all by saying that Virginia Tech doesn't win at the Dome. Like, historically, Virginia Tech loses at the Dome. Even in 2016, when they were ranked, they still went and lost to Dino Babers in his first year. Like, Tech doesn't win at the Dome in football. And so he said, no matter how, because Tech's supposed to be really good next year too. They're preseason top 25 on some lists and stuff. They return pretty much literally everybody, and you know, that's going to be a big game. And I just like Syracuse's chances. I'm so fired up. I think when I was home for Christmas break, that was the most buzz I've ever seen around the Syracuse football program. Being in Syracuse, like, people were talking about it. And I don't know if I've ever had that. Of course, you go places and people were talking about basketball when I was younger, but I've never had random people talking about football. And it just felt like every day it was a new surprise. And like, you just got used to seeing four stars. And like, when did we ever get to talk about four stars? And man, it is exciting. I mean, you got the transfers from Georgia, the defensive line from Texas A&M, then he brings his brother. I mean, it's just like McCord was obviously the big one. Most talent that they've had in my entire lifetime. I'm so excited. I was trying to explain to my girlfriend the level of excitement, who was also in Syracuse, and her whole family's Ohio State fans. So to them, it's like, oh, you get our sloppy seconds in McCord. And me and my dad were like explaining to her, like, no, this is like the greatest thing that has ever happened to us.
Yeah, and you know, you're lucky in some respects because Virginia Tech's playing at the Dome next year, right?
Yeah, you're gonna be able to go to that.
Yep. Senior year, gonna go up with all the buddies, and we'll call the game, and that'll be the most full circle. I did a game in the Dome last year, basketball game, and then I've done every time they come down here, I always do it. But just to football is always my favorite, and you know, to do a football game in the Dome senior year, that'll be pretty sweet. Looking forward to that.
Remember you.
Hey, I will tell you, this is the first year that Sean's actually had no problem talking about football in
once the football December was over
during basketball.
Yeah. That's the level of excitement. That's the level of excitement that's going on right now. And I remember when Gio used to call football games in his basement.
Yep. Yep.
You know, yep, just time. For practice, right?
Good so times. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. November 2nd, Virginia Tech at the JMA Wireless Dome. Can't wait for football season next year. And you know what? We haven't even hit summer yet. So, you know, I'm excited. All right. I mean, that's anybody who listens to the show long enough should know me and know that. All right. So let's give us a synopsis here on this Virginia Tech Hokies basketball team. Okay. Both of these teams in a pretty, but both teams in a must-win scenario, I think, you know, especially for, I'd say both of them. I mean, they're both very similar. The records are similar. I mean, where we sit as far as maybe a committee goes is similar in all of this. So, you know, you got Padula and you got Couture, right? Your backcourt, mm-hmm. That's the strength of this team. And I don't know who Lynn Kidd is, but he was on your team last year. I do not remember him. But you have this other cat here who can shoot threes, right? We know what Couture can do. But you got this Tyler Nichols, this transfer from UNC, right? Plays right. 25 minutes a game. He's only averaging 9 points, but he's shooting 41% from three, which isn't terrible because he's shot enough of them, 116 of them, 48 for 116. Right. So, what are we looking at with this team coming into the dome Tuesday night? And are you going to be there?
I wish I was going to be there. I'm not going to be there just because I had baseball this weekend, more baseball this upcoming weekend. And it was, you know, with class and stuff, it's tough to do. If it was on a Saturday, I'd be there in a heartbeat, but it's tough to make that long trip in the middle of the week like that. I wish I was going to be there, but I think that, you know, Tech, one, they struggle on the road. So that's a plus for the Cuse, no doubt about that. Tech's not very good on the road. They are very strong at home. They've only lost two home games. They just beat Virginia, actually beat up on Virginia and beat them by 34 points, which was crazy.
They only Virginia scored 41.
Score. Yeah. That was nuts. That doesn't happen often. That's the second biggest deficit in the history of that rivalry, and they play twice a year every year. But other than that, I mean, Tech is so inconsistent. And honestly, like you mentioned, Sean, these two teams mirror each other in a lot of ways as far as their resumes go. With that being said, for whatever reason, and it's all these advanced metrics, Tech is 57th in the net. They were 52nd. They just lost yesterday. They lost at Pitt. And then Syracuse is all the way at
85.
80 something.
84.
85?
It's 84
or 85. So there you go. I mean, Syracuse is 84. Winning more games lately. They have that massive win over North Carolina, that marquee win. Like, Tech's best win is either Virginia at home or Clemson at home. And neither one of those is, like, eye-popping by any means. It's nothing compared to a win over North Carolina, in my opinion. And again, Tech hasn't really won much on the road, but it's all this, like, you know, defensive efficiency and whatever else they look at. Some reason Tech is 30 spots ahead of Syracuse in the net. And I can't quite figure out why that is, because I think Syracuse is the better team. I think Tech's going to focus on trying to get the ball to Lynn Kidd and Malijah Poteet inside, two really good centers. That's something that Tech hasn't had is two solid centers, and they do have that this year. Poteet in his second year, he's a transfer from Rice. He's been really strong. And then Kidd, like you were mentioning, he was a Clemson transfer, but has really come on this year. He was like their ultimate project, where this is his third year here. Now he's a night in, night out starter, and he's just gradually gotten better each year into this being his starting role. Tech gets to the line and they shoot really well from the line. There was one point in the year where they were the top free throw shooting team in the country, and their big men can shoot. So, like, if you foul Kidd, that's going to be a tough matchup inside for Malik Brown, where Syracuse lacks a little bit of size. Is you foul Kidd, he shoots 88% from the stripe. You foul Poteet, he shoots at 74% from the stripe. That's big. Tech's going to get their shots, I guess, but I'm so unimpressed with Tech. Like, I would pick Syracuse to win by 8 tomorrow.
Yeah, they're shooting almost 80% from the line, which is really good. And Joe and I already talked a little bit about the net, but I was, as you were talking about getting beat by Pitt at Pitt, right?
Time out. What even happened to that game, by the way? You guys took the lead 3 minutes in the second half. You're up two, and all of a sudden, 10 minutes later, you're down almost 20. What happened in that game?
Well, that would be Joe. That would be an 18-0 scoring run by the Panthers.
That's
is
crazy.
What happened there. And I don't actually have the full deets because I was calling baseball at the exact time that game was going on. But I was looking at the box score and stuff after, and I did hear people were texting me, and I was updating those listening to baseball on the basketball score, and there was an 18-0 Pitt run at one point early in the second half, and it was over after that.
That'll do it. Almost happened.
I don't know how you, an 18-0 run is crazy.
It is. But here's the thing: they win at home against Virginia Tech.
Virginia. They are Virginia Tech.
No. I'm talking about Pitt.
Right.
Because they jumped up 11 spots in the net yesterday after that win. 11 spots. They're 46 in the net. That is that kind of jump for that kind of win at home this late in the season. Like, I don't, that just is a head scratcher. Joe and I already did the diatribe on the net, but I'd love to get your thoughts on that, because they go up 11 and Virginia Tech drops 5. So at home against Pitt, I don't know, man. It's weird.
Yeah. I don't know. I've heard all this talk, like, expand the tournament to 96. And at first I was like, no, it's always like, that would be so lame. Like, why would we do that? And now that I'm looking at a postseason where neither of my teams are likely going to be in it, I'm like, yeah, 96. More meaningful basketball.
Yeah, make it 120. Screw it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'll be completely honest. Like, I don't even feel – the net is so confusing, I don't even know if I'm fully educated enough to have an opinion, which I guess maybe speaks for itself.
We used to think we were educated enough that it was explained well enough to where we understood it, but at this point, I think they're hiding the ball. I think they're not – this. It's not what it was set out to be. I just don't believe
it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we spoke, too, about that, and a lot of it, I think it comes down to where you start. And then what your non-conference is, right? I kind of rolled through it a little earlier, but when you look at the non-conference strength of schedule from a lot of the Big 12 teams, take away Baylor and Kansas, they're over in the 150s, 200s, stuff like that. They didn't play anybody. The ACC had a really good record against Big 12 teams, and they didn't play anybody. They won a lot of games, so they were high up in the net. And then they stayed there because they just beat up on each other. And then the next thing you know, instead of only having, you know, 10 chances for quad one games, they're getting 15, 16. But when you look at their quad four wins, they got 7, 8, 9 because their non-conference was awful. But what it does is it sets the table for when conference play starts and everyone just, they have such a good net ranking that they don't move. They beat up on each other. They don't move. And they look like a really good conference, and then they'll get 8-9 teams in the tournament, and they'll have one in the Sweet 16.
Yeah. Well, that was a quad one game for Pitt, to be fair. Yesterday.
And I think that's where Tech is somewhere relevant in the net, is they're 3-8 in quad one. They're 12-2 at home, 1-8 on the road. Their one road win all season is at NC State. So, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, they really do not play well on the road.
You got a couple good non-conference wins. Boise State and Iowa State were good.
Yeah, it definitely helps. It definitely helps. But, again, you're lacking that. Like, I'd almost rather that marquee win, especially now to get in the tournament. It's like, When the committee, there's not that lure. Like, even though Iowa State and Boise State are good in the net, good solid NCAA tournament teams, like, you don't look at that on paper and think, wow, that's a nice win right there. Like, it doesn't have the same lure as a Carolina and a Duke, and Syracuse beat Carolina. And Carolina, fair. I mean, I don't know, they've struggled lately, but I do think it sounds cheesy, but, and it shouldn't, because it's a committee of very educated people, but when you beat a Carolina, a Duke, a Kentucky, whatever it may be, like it holds so much more weight.
Yeah. And I mean, not to poo-poo on the educated, but it's not like they always make the right decisions, right?
Right. Right.
No, I mean, let's be honest. There's so much influence, so much money in this sport right yeah. now that it's just...
Well, we can't complain too much. It did bring us to a Final Four in 16, so we probably shouldn't have got in that year.
It's true.
So, I mean, probably not.
And then we should have got in the next year and didn't, so...
Go figure. Then that's the problem, right? I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about. So you're going to get to watch this game. You're not doing anything, right? 7 o'clock at night. You're done with all your stuff, right? So do you typically go out and watch these games? Do you get, you get a bunch of your Hokie buddies with you, and then you got to act like, you know, you don't care if something happens to Syracuse or what? How's that go?
most of the time I'm working it. Definitely there if it's in Blacksburg, and then if it's on the road, that's kind of the nice thing about this location, right? Like Wake Forest, 2 hours away. You got the whole Research Triangle. So NC State, Duke, and Carolina is all like 2.5 hours from here. Everywhere else is very, like, I'm going to go to Louisville next week because we're on spring break. So that'll be a fun trip. And it's like everywhere is very doable besides BC, Syracuse, Miami. Like two of my buddies went to Pitt. Pitt's only 5 hours from here. Like that's manageable. Mm-hmm. So usually we're there. But tomorrow, I don't know what the game plan is yet. But by the way, did you guys see? I thought everything they did for Boeheim was pretty dope yesterday. Got me a little choked up. I was like, man, they did a good. Coach was choked up.
Yeah, and that's not very often, right? So no. Just glad, like, I got to agree with Adrian Autry, what he said. I'm just glad they did it, like, so quick, you know, to do something like that and not wait, like, hold off on this thing. And you know, Coach isn't getting to games that much. He's, you know, he's working for the ACC network, right? And he's on the road a lot. You see him all over the place now. So that's only his second game of the year. And, you know, it's good to see. It's still a little bittersweet for me. The whole Boeheim thing.
I thought that was his first time back to the Dome, no?
I think he was at one other game before.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he went to the one that Dave Bing was getting celebrated.
That was it. The Ring of Honor. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yep.
He loves Dame Bing.
Yeah, they're boys, man.
Roommates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I don't think enough can be done for Jim Boeheim, and you can love him or you can hate him. But, I mean, let's be honest. I don't think there's enough that community, that school could do for him that would, you know, could give back to him as much as he gave everybody. There's no way.
Yeah.
So.
1,000%. 1,000%. I always wanted to last year I was at the ACC tournament, and it was crazy. So when we go to the ACC tournament, we call every game. Not just text, because usually tech is bounced pretty quick, and then that would just be, you know, not a good use of our trip. So I happened to call the Wake Forest Syracuse game and like called the shot, I guess, that ended Boeheim. You know, that was the Wake Forest beat him with a buzzer beater pretty much. But like I immediately ran into his press conference because he just kind of had that feel, like the building had that feel. And then the press conference was kind of weird, but I never got a chance to like go up to him, but I wanted to like say, like, I'm from Syracuse, I go to Tech, but like he did mean so much. Like, as you guys know, watching Syracuse basketball was like my whole childhood. So
yeah, yeah. I mean, and yeah, ours too, Gio.
Yeah, honestly. And then you could tell that he appreciated, right?
Yeah, you.
I mean, just the only coach that we've known, right? But like, you look at the attendance that have been going to the Dome this year against good teams. And then we get a Notre Dame and we get that kind of attendance. You know why the people showed up. What did they say? Something like,
yes.
How many players? Like 70? Did they say 70, 80? I feel like I heard somewhere that there were 70, 80 former players that were
That's
there.
Crazy.
Like, I mean, if you didn't make some type of, you know, connection with the town and with the players and you didn't do something for them, I mean, then they wouldn't show out like that, man. And I'm glad that he got that, and hopefully now, since, you know, he's doing calling games and he's been away from it for a little while, and now he's gone there and got to celebrate. You know, maybe he'll feel a little bit more comfortable coming in the building a little bit more and going to some games. But I thought it was awesome, just like you said, Gio. It was awesome, and the respect he got from the community and his former players was just awesome. Mike Tirico emceeing it. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that was great.
I mean, when I was a kid, Mike Tirico was the local sports guy on Channel 3 or whatever the hell it was.
Then he was on ESPN.
Yeah, and then he was on, I mean, he was, we grew up with him
now
being our
Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, it's like, it's like, you know, I grew up with him like in our living rooms every evening talking about sport, you know, Syracuse sports, high school sports, whatever the case was, right? And it's just crazy to have a Mike Tirico from Syracuse like that. It's, I mean, few and far between. That's pretty cool.
No, there's a lot of those that is done too.
What's that?
But there's a lot of those guys from Newhouse too. You know,
oh, there is, but they're you know, there is.
It's not Mike
Bob Costas, right? I mean, but it's not a Mike Tirico. Mike Tirico was our local sports guy. None of them, Bob Costas was not. You know, all of those other guys were not. You know, just back to Boeheim real quick. How all of that ended last year, you know, was just poorly handled too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, when you think about what, how to right a wrong, I mean, you know, doing it this quick and having the big thing, and coach doesn't like the big things. I mean, he's not like Krzyzewski, where Krzyzewski's got to go and get freaking presented at every freaking game in his final year, his farewell tour.
He would
like
hate
he's
that.
like he's freaking,
he would hate that.
Ozzy Osbourne or something. I mean, I know he would. That's what I'm saying. It's just like, you know, to do that is just shows no humility. And coach was just like, yeah, whatever. You know, 47 years here, whatever.
He doesn't look at it as a big deal. You know,
he does.
Like a humble dude. Yeah. I mean, yeah, people think he comes off as like that. That get off my lawn. Like
he is
grandfather, right?
He
but
is,
yeah, I get that. But at the end of the day, when you go to try to like praise everything he's done and his credentials, he just always turns it back and gives it to the players or gives it to the fans or exactly what he did. So I think that says a lot at the end of the day about a person, regardless if you don't like some of the things he says or if he's too blunt or straightforward, like that's fine. But at the end of the day, he gives it credit where credit's due. He's not looking to be this famous guy who, like you said, is doing his swan song every single damn game, no matter where you go, and taking gifts and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, and having halftime presentations and shit at every away game in the conference. It's like, come on, end this, please.
We're gonna look back and like, it actually happened sooner than I thought, right? Because last couple of years just not being very good, like left the worst taste in our mouth, and people were saying it was time for coach to go. Like, I mean, honestly, should have won more than one national championship, went to 5 Final Fours, but like more than anything, like stayed. He'll say that Syracuse is the only place in the world that he'd want to live. He'll stay in Syracuse probably until the day he's gone. And it's like, how many people can say that? I'm from Syracuse and I love Syracuse enough to tattoo it on my arm, and I'm still probably going to end up somewhere not in Syracuse. Like, you guys didn't end up in, and like, right. He made Syracuse home. And for people from Syracuse, like, that means something, and that's important. And you know how many times I'm sure the NBA called or some other school offered him more money and he stuck around. And without Syracuse basketball being what it was, I don't know that the city of Syracuse is as relevant as it is. I mean, it's not a major city. It's like a middle, you know, middle tier city in this country. But like, without Cuse hoops, I don't know. Like, you owe him so
very
much.
True.
Yeah, without Syracuse hoops, I don't know if the football team becomes what it became in the 90s. I mean, who knows? I mean, Syracuse hoops propelled a lot of that stuff. But Gio, any final thoughts, buddy, before we scoot out of here?
Just looking forward to a good one. Everyone always asks me who I root for in these games. I say who needs it more. I think it's weird to say that Syracuse has a better chance to go to the NCAA tournament because they're 30 spots behind in the net. But I think they have a bigger win in Carolina. And I just think as of late, they're playing better basketball. Like, that Virginia game was a one-off and Virginia literally couldn't score. Like, yeah, of course, Tech deserves some of the credit, but that was more of literally, I've never seen a team miss so many shots, to be honest, is what that was. So I think Syracuse is playing better. They're the better team, better athletes. Tech gets, you know, they're not a very athletic team. They're not a very big team. I think Syracuse has them there at every spot but the 5. Syracuse is going to have bigger players at every spot but the 5.
That's what I worry about.
Yeah, and I think that's gonna be where the game's won or lost is in the paint, at the center position. But let's hope Chris Bell goes another 8 for 8 from beyond the arc, right?
Yeah.
Do your guards match up well with ours as far as defensively with Couture and Padula and MJ Collins?
I mean, they're all. Well, Padula's not a great defender. Collins and Couture, especially. Couture's an elite defender, yes. On-ball defender. Mm-hmm. But I just think Syracuse is a lot bigger. I mean, you know, Cuse always recruits those tall, lengthy guards. Yeah. I mean, JJ, Chris, they'll be bigger. Quadir. I mean, Judah's smaller. Yeah, Quadir. Judah's smaller. That's really going to be the. I'm excited to see that matchup because Sean is a very, very, very talented point guard, and he could easily drop. I mean, he's dropped 30 in back-to-back games this season. Like he can go out there and score 30 if you need him to, and so can Judah. So I think that, and they're both very athletic. They're different, but they both create their own shot. That'll be a fun matchup. Sean Padula and Judah Mintz will be fun to watch. So we'll see what happens.
I worry about the rebounding too. Because don't you guys got Robbie Behrens? How's that guy? He's a transfer from
Northwestern. Yeah, Robbie Behrens good. I mean, he's your transition wide open in the corner. He's going to knock down that timely open three. He might only put in 5 points on the whole game, but it's that one that you needed that, you know, turned a 6-0 run into a 9-0 run, and then Autry's got to call a timeout. He's that kind of player, and he's very scrappy. Good at the rim. He's a good defender. He might lead the team in blocks, either him or Lynn Kidd, definitely. But Barron's got a good defensive ability. Does he?
Yeah, I'm looking at him.
Well, it's because those two, that's where I worry, because you know you're going to have Malik Brown against Kidd. So if you got Barron or Poteet, which I'm glad you said his first name, we didn't make Sean say it. That would have been great.
Yeah, give it a shot, Sean.
Hold on. Let's see.
But
Poteet, my jail, right?
Yeah. It's Malajal.
Whatever. That's what I said.
Yeah, that's what I said. No, but I mean Poteet and Barron against like the Justin Taylor. You know what I mean? Like that's what I worry about is because we have been out rebounded. But we've usually offset, you know, being out rebounded by getting more, you know, turnovers and, you know, offsetting it that way. So I was just wondering because there's a couple other things that I was worried about, and that's definitely one of them, is definitely rebounding.
If this game was in Castle Coliseum, I'd say Tech scraps it out, but it's in the Dome. They're 1-8 on the road. I think Syracuse is better than NC State. I mean, Syracuse proved that. They've beaten NC State twice. So I feel confident in saying Syracuse wins tomorrow. With that being said, Syracuse has to stop getting out to such a good start and then falling apart in the second half and barely eking it out. Like, I don't really know why we had to sweat out the last two. We shouldn't have, but we did.
Well, we played down the competition. It's like we're all used to that to some extent, I feel like. But you figure, well, with a 29-point lead, that shouldn't happen.
Right.
I mean, but they blew leads against Miami last year, against Pitt. I mean, past couple years they've blown those and lost those games. This year they're not losing those games. That's the difference. You want to scratch one by two or 3 points. I mean, it is what it is. They're losing that game last year. They just didn't have it in them. They got way more fight.
Syracuse is a team that can make an ACC tournament run too. Like, I like their chances against, depending on where they match up, like, I like their chances to play with anybody. There's not really anybody that they match up horribly with.
Duke comes to mind. They match up horrible with Duke just every time.
Every time, yeah.
I mean, it's tough.
Well, they always matched up bad with Carolina until this year.
They've had some success
against. They beat Duke more than they've beaten Carolina.
Have they? They beat Carolina, what, 3 times? Wasn't that their first win in the ACC as well, or something like that? I'm familiar.
No, the second time they beat them, it was so surprising that COVID showed up.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. So we beat them. Yeah, that was the last time we beat them before. Yeah, so we've beat them 3 times, right?
Yeah,
that was in the tournament, wasn't it?
It was the ACC tournament. Go to the Friday night game against Louisville because they beat North Carolina. It was in Greensboro.
Yeah, we were going to play Louisville, and they shut everything down.
I'm so bummed the tournament's not in Greensboro this year. It's in D.C. this year, which I'm excited to go to D.C., but I love it in Greensboro. Last year was in Greensboro, and it was sick.
You're excited to go to D.C.?
D.C.'s just a – just, you know, be careful. D.C. is a shit.
I've only been to D.C. like once, so I don't think I've ever even stayed the night.
It's a dump. You'll have fun, but it's the place is a dump. And watch out for those politicians.
Sweet.
Watch out for the politicians. Don't pickpocket you. All right. That's going to do it, gentlemen. Gio, enough can't be said for you making time for us guys from Cuse Militia. Really.
Thank you, sir.
Super appreciate you,
thanks
buddy.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. You know you're welcome at any time. And see what happens in this game. And we'll be back here Wednesday to talk about it. For Joe and Gio, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.